Good afternoon. Today is Monday, October the 8th, 291st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon all by himself. He couldn't find friends this time. Superintendent of Humboldt County Schools, Gary Eagles.
Yeah, well, welcome, Brian. Welcome to Columbus Day. I just kind of sailed in myself here to the office.
Oh, I see. You're not a big fan of those, was it the national insurance commercials that are running, talking about Columbus and a speedboat?
Oh, yes.
I forget what's going on, and then it's like, oh, yeah. And then I forget who the insurance company is.
Well, it shows you how... What's imprinting and what isn't, right?
Yeah, Columbus and the Speedboat. I'm there. I'm all over it. This afternoon, we're going to talk about not better ways to discover, better ways for your child or student to discover educational goodies. How to learn better, how to talk better, and as their mentors, how we can show them a better way to get there.
Yes. Our focus is on parents today.
So tried to loop it all together. Whether I was successful or not, I don't know, but we're going to take a break and be back.
I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Viette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from William Blake, who said, quote, "Truth that's told with bad intent beats all the lies you can invent."
Going to have to ponder that.
Okay.
It's an interesting twist. I believe truth is generally the best to tell, regardless of the intent, but that almost sounds like you're telling the truth with malice.
Yes.
Trying to figure out how that works.
Think timing, for example.
Well, it could be. That could be part of it.
Yeah. So, Bob, did you take care of that situation that, you know, in front of the family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh.
I mean, like, we could use a little bit more truth around this election era.
Yeah, it would be interesting, wouldn't it?
I wish we could actually have a, you know...
Be included?
if there was one resource that would actually truly fact-check without any political bias, I know that's impossible to do, but because everybody has their own, quote, fact-checkers, but it is kind of interesting.
Well, and how the information is shared. The communication of what is or what isn't.
Well, or
redefining terms.
Somebody's words directly out of context, and you say, now, this is what they've said, but you frame it in such a way, and you extract all the words around the phrase that you actually publicize just to distort the message.
That
concerns me greatly.
That one doesn't get me too fired up.
Represent us.
The one that really fires me up are the guys when we redefine the terminology. We redefine what the word means or the number means.
Oh, in order to not explain away something?
Or just to give a false impression.
Oh.
And it's happened. I mean, it seems to happen historically. But it just, wait a minute. So when we talk about trying to compare today to yesterday, we can't because we don't define the words the same. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And then you have to do additional
work. They call that the new reality. But
reality, now that's a concept.
But I think a lot of people question, you know, in today's world and timing around whether or not today's political behavior is any different than it was in the past.
Well, they were calling Lincoln an ape.
But I do think that our communication systems, because they're so immediate these days, that it does more damage.
Well, it's. And then we can get into the topic. It's like with the numbers that come out, the economic numbers, the quarterly numbers or the monthly numbers, and they get readjusted 3 times the following month because they were inaccurate. Wait a minute.
Yeah. What are you relying on, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Give me a break. You know, and everybody say, oh, no, it was reported as. Well, yeah. And then it was adjusted this time and this time and this time. So.
Well, I'll tell you what. There is a truth, though, and this is a constant.
We are here.
Yes. No, and that today we're talking about parents. And parents are, of course, a child's first teacher. And they are primary in education for their children.
So
but I think parents forget that. And I want to talk about that today because the PTA has recently come out in their newsletter with 100 ways to help your child in school succeed. And I felt it was such an excellent piece that we're actually going to make a reference to it on our website,
and
the
County
Office of Education.
And we'll jump into this one also. But before we do, since we've only got a couple minutes in this segment, what about the dysfunctional parent? Kids learn from that also.
Well, of course.
They see what's going on. And the state's involved now with reporting this and reporting that and this. And I understand that, there may have been good reasons and there may be good reasons for that. But how do you see that where the educator fits into the arena to unwind some of these things? So let's say violence is the norm at home, or abuse is the norm at home. And here comes little Johnny or Janie, and that's what they see as normal, and that's their one tool in their toolbox when they get frustrated or when they don't know the answer. That's how a lot of this stuff doesn't come into play there where you have that kind of a family situation.
No, that's true. And I'd like to think, of course, that every parent, before they become a parent, when they're thinking about having children, understand the commitment that there is to the child that they're going to bring into the world. We know that that's not the case. What I like about this particular publication, though, is that there are very practical ways to engage even the most reluctant parent, because they're not only parents who are modeling bad behavior, they're also parents that don't know how to be a good parent. And actually, with a parent working with a teacher is a good way to make that happen.
From their upbringing. Or I would also suggest working in group settings so you can see what others do.
Absolutely.
And learn from that, whether it's in the athletic arena or extracurricular or something like a PTA.
Yes, I would agree.
I had to get the letter right here, right? PTA? Yeah, okay. I don't know what happened. Then there's PTSA and then PTO. I don't know. I thought it was all kind of the same track. But once again, proven wrong. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Gary Eagles.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles. So, Gary, on this checkoff list of things that parents can do to help kids be more successful, the one thing I've always thought, and maybe, simplistic mind, read.
Oh, absolutely.
Read with your kid. Let them understand the language. Let them learn the language. Enjoy the language, see pictures, make those connections. And if you can do that early on and the kid has a love of books and love of reading, you're in like Flynn.
I would say that is absolutely preeminent. And you can never start too soon. Reading to a toddler out of a child's book, beginning to show them the pictures in the book and talking about what the pictures mean, and even talking about shapes and colors and body parts. If, for example, there's a graphic of a person on the page, you talk about hair and eyes and nose and mouth and arms and legs, just for the little ones to get them to understand vocabulary. It's not difficult. It's also rather economic because, fortunately, in this country, we still have free public libraries. And so you don't have to be wealthy. What you have to do is understand that time with your child is the most important commodity that you can give. Not a bunch of Christmas gifts. It's not anything else that you provide them, but time is important. And the simple focus of reading a book together and sitting down is a tremendous way not only to develop a child's love of learning and relationship with books and words and be able to stimulate their mind and create visions, but the bonding actually that occurs between parents. And the other thing that I would stress in this regard, it's not just the mother's role. I think it's absolutely critical that fathers take the time to bond in that same way.
You don't think...
Because it doesn't happen enough.
You think people play to that stereotype, or there are just many dysfunctional families, or the dads aren't there,
I think they
or
still,
in the picture?
I think they still... There are still a lot of people that think it's the mother's role to nurture, and that sitting down with a child and reading is that nurturing role. And I'm saying, no, it's both parents' roles and
roll a ball. It doesn't require a lot of talent to roll a ball with a kid or have fun. I remember, and it was interesting for me, as PC as I am.
But, right. Okay. Right, I got that.
We went through and read the Aesop's. And Grimm's, the real.
Oh, okay.
You did. Oh, mm-hmm. Yes, Hansel and Gretel. Somebody went in the oven. Son of a gun. Yeah, that's what it was. And Little Red Riding Hood and all the. But it didn't seem to matter what the words were. It seemed to matter that there was time and the kids looking forward to being read to at night.
Yes, it is actually that concept. And, it doesn't. I don't think because you talk about Hansel and Gretel in the oven, that kids are going to think about that. But actually, if you're concerned about how the kids will relate to that, you go off the storybook and talk about how dangerous that would be. I mean,
okay, then go with the Phantom Toll Booth.
Right?
you're safe there. Nobody's growing down to the earth.
Right.
There's so many different ways that if it doesn't work with
you. But it's just the conversation with kids.
That's what I was. Right. I don't think you can screw it up.
No, I would totally agree.
If you're spending the time. So with the communications elements of it, as the kid begins to get a little bit older and older and older, what suggestions are shared with written, nonverbal, as well as with verbal communication?
Well, one of the most critical things that parents can do early on is to inform teachers, starting with preschool. Or kindergarten, wherever your child starts with school, is for the parent to sit down with the teacher and just inform the teacher about the child's strengths and their talents and their interests. Help the teacher understand how unique that your child is and the things that they respond to positively. And that can go a long way because the teachers will want to have that information, and it's a lot easier if parents fill them in at the get-go than if they have to learn it after working with children. So simple things like communication and making sure you're there for back-to-school nights and open houses and teacher-parent conferences. Show up, communicate two-way, ask questions. If you're finding some things at home as a parent that you're struggling with, ask the teacher. Say, I've noticed I'm having difficulty
algebra
with XYZ. Well, I'm still at the kindergarten here. But maybe algebra is it too later on. But because the teacher has been in that role of parent, if not in their own children, certainly parenting children in the school setting, and they'll have ideas. It is a shared partnership, this teaching and learning. The teacher relies on parents to be engaged and supportive at home, and it's important that the parents look at the teacher as a partner and a helpmate in that process in terms of focusing on the child's needs.
Do teachers routinely sit down and talk with each student to get a sense of where they are, what they like to do?
They do within the context that they can, but when you're talking about a young child, they're not necessarily as vocal as what the parent can be. They can be more informative.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Gary Eagles. Gary, communicating is, I suppose it's probably the most challenging thing. If you and I are sitting here, even though we're similar in background, similar in experiences, similar in a lot of areas, you've got your flash words, I've got my flash words. And it comes from who knows where it comes from. When you say something, I probably have a pretty good sense. When I say something, you have a pretty good sense. But if we're talking to people that we're not in common with in words or said, oftentimes that communication is broken, incomplete, false, worst case scenario. How do you suggest for the parent or grandparent or whoever's responsible for the kids, as they're in that K-3 scenario, to be sure that I understand what you're saying and you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I would say two things. First of all, it's that parents have to be okay approaching teachers, not as teachers, but as I said in an earlier segment, as partners in the process. And that can be difficult for some parents to actually think in their mind that I'm talking to an equal, that this teacher is an equal player, not somebody over me. Because, when they've gone through school.
Yeah, not going to the old script.
The old script of teacher and student themselves. Yes, so that's one thing. Second thing is, as I said earlier, talking about your child in the focus, making the child the enterprise that it's built around. But in order to help the teacher communicate, in today's busy world, there are certain ways that parents can be contacted easier than others. Some prefer text, some prefer emails, some are wired to the internet, some are not. Some still have the old-fashioned phone at home. And the teacher needs to know how to get in contact. And I urge early on in the year for parents to reach out if the teacher hasn't had the opportunity yet to reach out, for the parents to engage and begin the dialogue before issues arrive in the classroom. Because if there's a relationship that exists, a communication relationship that exists between the teacher and the parent early on, then if issues that are more delicate or sensitive come up, they'll go easier.
Or not.
I mean, if just and they might not
establishing
even come
a relationship.
Up. Yes.
Yeah. And yeah, if it's Bob and Jim and they're just talking back and forth normal,
it makes it easier.
Yeah, we start to understand ourselves in a whole different way rather than as this expert parent.
Yes,
battle.
And it's important that the parent understands what the teacher's expectations in the classroom are, and the parent should say, "And what are your expectations of me? What kind of support can I give my child to help them learn in your class?" And then the teacher can provide that opportunity.
Is there that much difference between the classrooms?
Well, I think you're going to see some common threads in terms of what teachers will encourage parents to do. Probably one of the key things as a child grows up is making sure that if there is homework, that kids, have a quiet place to be able to work on their homework.
Study skills, yeah.
But let's go back to that very first, and of course this has been the basis of a lot of jokes. Yeah, honey, what did you learn in school today? And the child comes, nothing, and or doesn't have an answer. Go further than that. Don't allow that to be the answer. Really engage your child in a conversation about, well, what did you do in English? Or even what did you do in the playground today? If it's a very young child. Just engage them in that conversation. Take a sincere interest. Once again, it goes back to the concept of time. It's amazing what 2 or 3 minutes of engaged conversation will do. Not only...
So it sounds like building relationships to me. I mean, you could say the same thing
to your child, but it also models good behavior for your child to the teacher.
So let's say, me and Andrew were talking and the kid is sitting there. What happened to work today? Nothing. Oh.
Well, I hope you earned your key.
Yeah. model proper discussions also. Yeah.
Well, and sincere interest.
Yeah.
Parents generally are interested. They just don't know how to carry on the conversation. And they just need to probe a little deeper. Because when a child knows that their parent's interested in school, the child's going to be more open and receptive to coming back and without prompt to fill the parent in at the end of the day. Oh, this is what we did today.
And the parents are engaged and the kid's engaged and everybody is. When you say, and I every year, and it just stuns me, I guess. Parents not showing up for parent conference.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, a lot of them are after school. Yeah. A lot of them are after work. Yeah. I mean, there really is no way not to. And yet you talk to the teachers, and what, they're happy if it's over 50%. It's a good year. Wait, what? Half of the kids have already been shuffled off to Buffalo. Sorry, Buffalo.
No, I totally agree with you. And I think that that's one of the reasons why it's important for parents to communicate with teachers about how to contact, because it may not be possible for a parent to get off work with their schedule or out of their other responsibilities in order to attend parent-teacher conference. But if the parent says, I can't attend, but if you drop me a text or if you just pick up the phone, I'd be available between, 7 and 8 o'clock at night or something like that. I know teachers would go out of their way to do that just to make that connection with a parent.
So again, it's offering from the parent,
but
too.
But again, if a parent doesn't show and doesn't communicate with the teacher why they didn't show, the teacher doesn't know whether that's lack of interest or lack of time or what the reason is. And I really do encourage parents to go that extra mile and let teachers know.
KINS, News and Information Times, 342. We'll be back with more from Gary Eagles.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time, it's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles. Gary, as you're looking at some of the different things that parents can do if they're time-starved, if they're, and we don't have too many of them, if you've got like an hour-long commute, pretty typical in a lot of communities. Okay, or two parents each commuting for an hour each day. Okay, there are communities where that is the norm.
Yes, that's true.
We don't see it here too much, but there are still time-starved, maybe a couple of different jobs, a couple part-time jobs, that kind of stuff. What are some of the things that those folks can do to remain engaged in their kids' educational processes?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that I really appreciate about this PTA list of 100 is they really do cite some things that parents with very limited time can do effectively and very importantly. For example, PTA encourages parents to work with the school staff and teachers to develop volunteer activities they can do actually from home. In this day and age, with budgets being as strapped as they are, a lot of instructional support, like aides, are not there as plentiful, or if they're instructional aides at all. And again, a lot of times parents don't have the opportunity to regularly volunteer in their child's class. But maybe they could pick up packets of colored paper from the teacher, and they could do some work at home to prepare for an activity that's going on the next day in school and drop it off with their child the next day. Teachers greatly appreciate that kind of assistance. Another thing that's very important is that schools usually throughout the year, either the teacher and or the school, will send a parent survey home asking for input and feedback about various sundry things at the school. And it doesn't take long for parents to complete those and send them back. But a lot of parents don't and may not feel that their input is valid. Well, all parent input is valid. And I would encourage people to take the opportunity to, to complete the survey and get that information back in.
Well, I would suggest that the voting population, going back to our first segment, is a whole lot less in an elementary school than it is nationally. So if you want your voice to be heard, be one of the 100 that respond, or one of the 200,
yes,
or one of the 10, depending on the size of the school.
Well, and you mentioned politics and election again, which we, of course, did start off the day talking about. And that's another way that parents can partner with the school. First of all, to voice either support or concern on any issue that affects the family or the children. Stand up, let people know what you believe. And then when it comes to politicians, learn candidates' positions and participate in school board elections or in any other election, for example, because, the way in which public schools are operated today You know, what they do in Sacramento matters at the local level. What they do in Washington has an effect in your local school. It isn't just local school district elections. So find out what a candidate's position is on public education, what they believe in, and support those candidates who share the same beliefs that you do in order to have a strong education system. Well, so that's another way for parents to be involved.
And there are a lot of the smaller school-specific committees.
Oh, absolutely.
That are out there.
Site
also
councils
just...
and, you know, carnival committees and various other Sunday ways. If you have additional time to spend, that's excellent. Well, and if you've got the time to spend and the interest and the commitment, consider running for the school board.
I knew we were going to wrap that lasso around.
Well, why
give
not?
It a tug, yeah.
We can always use committed individuals who are want to serve children in the broadest way to run for the local school.
Or I would imagine with your specific skill set, maybe if you don't have the time, great. But hey, you know, if you have any questions in this area, that's kind of where my background is. Give me a call. Shoot me an email.
Yes.
Let me know. And, you know, if nothing else, I'll just give you some input from a perspective of experience rather mm-hmm. than just another opinion.
Yep. Good point.
Easy stuff to do. Kind of like this show, right?
It's always easy.
Yeah,
and
okay.
A great fun.
Yeah. Thanks for coming by in again.
Thanks
this
for having
me. This list, Gary, is going to be on your website.
Yes, it will be. We'll reference this PTA list for parents.
Good deal. And just for giggles, the County Office of Ed's website is?
Humboldt.k12.ca.us.
Or you can Google it.
Or you can do Google the Humboldt County Office of Education.
There you
Absolutely.
Go. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.